It's March, and that can mean only one thing. The madness is here. Not in front of a TV on game day? Listen to every round of NCAA March Madness live from Westwood One, free in the Odyssey app. Catch all the biggest moments of the tournament, no matter where you are. From Cinderella's,
a 15 seed will head to the Elite Eight,
to buzzer beaters,
Atkinson scores, 1.4 seconds left,
to champions,
for the fourth time.
Search for NCAA March Madness right here in the Odyssey app to get started.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
And away we go. Hour number four of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So the other day, we were talking about Lamar Jackson, and we were talking about possible destinations, and the Patriots came up because Robert Kraft, just out of nowhere, goes, oh, yeah, Meek Mill casually drops this nugget. He texted me, and he says Lamar wants to be a Patriot, but it's up to Bill Belichick, is pretty much what occurred in that conversation. So we were trying to figure out what that means, and then I saw a report today, Hickey, that the Patriots publicly have not denied the interest in Lamar Jackson. Like, you have not heard it from Robert Kraft or Bill Belichick. The decision makers say they're not interested in Lamar Jackson, but someone obviously leaked to reporters that they're not interested in Lamar Jackson. I don't know if that's just trying to stay in line with everyone in the NFL right now until one team eventually caves and then all the dominoes start to fall. But there was a report, I think it was from Jeff Howe today, that says the Patriots are not interested in Lamar Jackson. So I don't get why Robert Kraft would say that, other than Robert Kraft, if it was up to him, would want Lamar Jackson, but Robert Kraft also effusively praised Mac Jones the other day. So maybe you could explain it better than me, because I'm emotionally attached to the situation. So maybe you could put your thinking cap on here. Why would the owner say that Meek Mill texted him saying Lamar wants to be a Patriot, also praise Mac Jones, and then someone leak out, yeah, we're not going out and getting a deal done for Lamar Jackson right now? It's too expensive.
I think it's just Robert Kraft again putting the pressure on Bill Belichick and sending a public reminder to maybe Bill, but mostly the fans, both Patriot fans and fans of the NFL nationwide, that he is willing to do whatever it takes to win. He is not resting on his laurels. He's not looking at those six Lombardi trophies and thinking, my life is complete. He is chasing seven. He may be chasing eight or nine. He is trying to win the Super Bowl every year, and he, as an owner, will do whatever is needed to do in order to put the best product on the field, which is why, obviously, we're talking about Lamar Jackson. Draft compensation-wise, it's a lot, but that's not really him. It's more the money. I think he's more making it let everyone know that he is willing to do whatever it takes to, again, win another ring.
And also, I don't think it behooves any team right now to be the first team to say we're going to have interest in Lamar Jackson. Because let's say if down deep, Bill was interested in Lamar Jackson, why would you try to get that deal done now where Lamar's still probably in the mindset of being pretty damn close to the price that he thinks he's deserving of? Like, for the way that the Lamar price is going, well, you would think logically, but I guess there's no logic in here. But you would think logically that Lamar, in like a month, if no team has called him and no team has reached out, is like, okay, maybe, and we don't even know what the exact demands are, but maybe I have to lower my demands a bit. So if I'm a team like the Patriots, and let's say you are interested in Lamar, I'd wait eight till after the draft because you're picking at, what, 14? So do your two first-round picks starting next year, and you also let the price go down and down and down on Lamar Jackson. That, like, I, yes, you could say maybe Lamar admires the team first that shows interest because no one right now is showing interest and it's stupid. But eventually, if it turns out to be that multiple teams are interested, money is going to matter in this scenario.
How far is this price going to drop if we
talk
about
know.
A month?
Say it again.
Like, if we're talking about a month from now, right? And I would agree, there's no reason right now to get involved. I think by the draft, we'll see more action. So a month from now.
That's a lot of time.
How much? I mean, well, 3 years been a lot of time. And the Ravens and Lamar have never been on the same page one time when it comes to contract
negotiations. But now is the first time he's available. There's a difference because now he's the first time that he's available. So I would think, and this is me thinking logically, and I don't know if Lamar is logical in this situation representing himself. If I was like right now at 230 fully guaranteed, let's just say, maybe then you start to say to yourself, all right, I want $200 million guaranteed, but at least it's not the fully guaranteed thing. And I would have to think that there would be at least one team that would give him $200 million fully guaranteed when Kyler Murray just got, what, a $189.5? So even if it means you fall down to $195, that's still dropping. It's still moving off the main point of it's not fully guaranteed. And who knows, because Stephen A. said that Lamar's camp publicly denied to him that they've ever asked for a fully guaranteed contract. Now, I like Stephen A. Smith. Just because someone from Lamar's camp said that to Stephen A. Smith doesn't mean that that isn't what Lamar is wanting. That, oh yeah, Lamar all of a sudden doesn't want a fully guaranteed contract. So who knows? But if that's enough in a month from now when no one has bit and no one has bite yet to say, okay, I'll go off the fully guaranteed deal, that's progress. I don't think it benefits anyone to be first here. I really don't. Now, when it comes to the Patriots as well, I saw Maggie and Perloff today, the show that's right before us, on many of the same CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and the free Odyssey app. I'll be a good company guy. That they had on Ben Volen. Trolling Volen. Who I used to not like, and nah, I'm not saying I love Ben Volen, but I could tolerate Ben Volen now. Like, he doesn't annoy me because he was a very rude person to me years ago. He doesn't annoy me as much as he used to when he's trying to make a college kid pay him to do a radio interview on an internet college radio station. Yep, something that happened. But then Ben Volen kind of stood up to Goodell at the Super Bowl, and I go, okay, I could kind of rock with Ben Volen now. But anyway, Ben Volen on Maggie and Perloff today, Hickey, said the seat is officially hot for Bill Belichick in 2023. Now, when you say the seat is officially hot for Bill Belichick in 2023, that indicates to me you think there's a chance Bill Belichick's going to get fired at the end of the season. Now, here's what we learned about the Patriots. When they're bad, they're not as bad as what, even with no Tom Brady, they are not considered to be bad like everyone else considers bad in the NFL. Last year, they were 8-9. That's not good. But when you say bad, you think like you're 4 or 5 wins. We've never seen them get down to that level. But when you look at a team that for 20 years, bare minimum, you knew that they were going to be waking up and playing an AFC championship game, that is a big drop. So when I hear Ben Volen say the seat is officially hot for Bill Belichick, I say to myself, there's a chance Bill Belichick gets fired at the end of the year. But then when I think about Robert Kraft, I have an almost impossible time seeing that after this season, Robert Kraft fires Bill Belichick. And I know what he said about the Shula record. We don't talk about individual accolades with players, so we're not going to really do that with coaches. And you know what? I thought Bill's answer this week was pathetic. Why should fans still trust you? And he's like, well, how about the last 25 years? And I saw Teddy Bruschi say it. I saw Ben Watson say it. That's not the Bill Belichick I know. Because Bill Belichick used to say, I don't care how many Super Bowls you won in the past, it's how many you're going to win in the future. How many are you going to win this year? You know, what are you going to do this year? What are you going to do years after that? But when I look at Kraft, I do think, obviously, the last 20-plus years mean something, and they do mean a lot when it comes to firing arguably the greatest NFL coach of all time. And sometimes you stay in one place too long. And sometimes you get stubborn, and sometimes you don't make the right moves to continue winning. And you don't adapt, and you don't change. But I would think it's a lock that Belichick is back next season. I can't see this team, and I'm not optimistic on this team, being so bad, and I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs, but being so bad where at the end of the year, Kraft's like, we have to fire Bill Belichick. Now, what I will say is I don't think we're entirely that far away from that being a possibility, but I don't think it's this year. And I've said for a while two things. Number one, I think for Bill to lose his job, two things would have to happen. One, they would have to miss the playoffs two straight years. And if they miss the playoffs this year, that's two straight years. And then I think the seat officially becomes hot where he's in danger of losing his job. I really do think Belichick, let me rephrase this, would have to miss it for three straight years. But after two, that's when the level of intensity picks up on the hot seat, where there's a chance he actually gets fired. The other thing, I said this now, this must be 6 or 7 years ago. That's how long ago this was. I was told from someone, so I don't know if it's still true, but it was 6 or 7 years ago. Someone that I really do trust and that knows that Patriots organization better than anyone. I was told that when Robert officially hands the team over to Jonathan, and like Robert will always be the face, but when Jonathan takes more and more and more and more of a role, and it's really him running the team and him being one, and then Robert, even though he may be perceived to be one, is really two. That not that Belichick or Kraft have this bad relationship, Jonathan, that is, but that would be when Bill says he walks away because of the loyalty that he has to Robert Kraft. Now, with that being said, loyalty goes both ways. That's maybe what Bill's thinking. If Robert wakes up one day and says, I don't want Bill to be the head coach anymore, it doesn't matter what Bill was planning on doing because then it totally changes and you're out of a job. But I really think, Hickey, when you have been a coach of that to that amount of a legend, I think Belichick, where it's one of one, is going to have to miss the playoffs 3 years in a row for the Patriots to fire him, but, you know, anywhere in the immediate future. And he's missed it now once. If you miss it then this year again, then I think the seat goes all the way up to being hot and actually being hot. And if he wouldn't make the playoffs the year after that, then I think he would be out of a job.
I think it's very realistic he's fired after this year for a few reasons. Number one, you missed the playoffs, which I'm with you. I think they will miss the playoffs this year. It's two straight and three out of four. And three out of four for Robert Kraft. We talked about it a few times this week so far. I respect that Robert Kraft for still having that fire to win. It's very easy to get complacent. I honestly probably would be complacent if I was him, having 6 Lombardi trophies and 9 Super Bowl appearances. He's still striving to win another one. He still wants to win. And if you're missing the playoffs 3 out of 4 years, right now then you got to think about, all right, what can we do? We've changed quarterbacks. We've changed philosophies on how to build a team from the draft to splurging in free agency to not working. What other change has to be done to get us back on track in what is a very loaded AFC? And also, too, not to mention, you see how Tom Brady went out, where Tom Brady was not allowed to have basically, you know, he was not able to call the shots in his own career in terms of ending when he wanted to in New England.
Well, Brady, let me just be clear about one thing. I'm not saying you're wrong in what you just said, but I'm just interrupting. Brady left because, in an ironic way here, because Bill said the last 25 years matter, Brady left because he was asking for the multi-year deal, the assurance, the contract, the way that he wanted, and Bill basically wanted to do this year to year. And eventually Brady got fed up with it, and he said, all right, I'm done. And he knew heading into what ended up being his last year in New England, that was actually going to be his last year in New England. Like, Brady gave them every opportunity to make sure that Brady was going to play for one team and one team only. And I will say, Bill, not that he fully treated Brady like everyone else, but in that regards how he managed a roster treating Brady like everyone else, that is why Brady didn't finish his career in New England.
Right. So now if you're Robert Kraft, and by all reports, Robert Kraft wanted Brady to be in New England.
Obviously.
Left it up to Bill. Bill did not get the contract done that let Tom Brady stay. If you're Robert Kraft then, where's the loyalty? I get it. Again, 25 years, but where's the loyalty in terms of, well,
it's actually
Tom
more than that.
Stay,
remember, Belichick was there before that, too.
Right. Well, I'm saying in terms of dynastic success and with the run they've been on, really starting in, 2001, if you will. But in that time, you didn't let Brady stay. What is Robert Kraft's loyalty then to letting Bill Belichick finish out the string if you're thinking Super Bowl and then you have a coach who has a team 7, 8, 9 win range every single year?
I understand what you're saying, but once again, I go back to, I think the Belichick standard is different because he's the last one from that original Brady, you know, from that dynasty outside of Kraft. He's still there. And I do think with how close that relationship is of Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, that he would have to miss the playoffs 3 straight years for him to get fired as early as what that would be. Then you would go through this 2023 season, then 2024 by the start of the 2025 season. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying in 2026, like if let's say he makes the playoffs, this year and then misses, 2 years after that, then he's going to have to miss the playoffs for then a third straight year. I'm not saying that's always the standard, but I think operating from where we are right now, where post Brady, you miss the playoffs 1 year, you make the playoffs, you miss it. I think if he misses this year, then it's Bill, you got to go get us to the playoffs or then I'm going to get rid of you at the end of the season. That's what I think it needs to be for where we are right now. He has to miss it 2 more years this year and then the year after that, where Kraft would say, okay, then I have to pull the plug. Because I do think Robert may think at the end of the year, okay, this isn't working, they missed the playoffs, then I got to get rid of him. But there's one thing to think and there's one thing to actually do it. And I do then think the emotions of the last 20-something years do play a factor where you go, okay, I got to see him fail one more time to then realize it's time for a change with the organization. We got to take a break. We'll try to figure out what the 49ers are going to do at the QB spot when we come on back. Bonta Hill, who does a really good job, morning drive host for 95.7 The Game, will join us.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The San Francisco 49ers.
All right, let's chat a little bit about the San Francisco 49ers right now with Bonta Hill. Does a great job in the morning. Roast 95.7 The Game out in the Bay Area. Bonta, appreciate the time. How are you?
Anytime, Zach. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So, really, the big sense from the league meetings, from what the 49ers said, is that if Brock Purdy is healthy, he's going to be the starting quarterback come week one. Did that catch you guys by surprise, or was that pretty much what you guys expected to hear from John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, and company?
It's what we expected to hear, and we're happy to hear it because the quarterback position here in San Francisco, as you know, has been a big mystery. Last year, you had the Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo wreck. The last 2 years, where Shanahan, 2 years ago before the 2021 season, basically was saying that, yeah, we have a named starter. I think we know who it is. It was this big secret. Then last year, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo signed late in the trade. He kept the backup Trey Lance. He's a plan if the Trey Lance, of course, breaks his ankle in week 2 against Seattle. So So with the way Brock Purdy played, with the way the players have talked about Brock Purdy, most notably George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, we're not shocked that John Lynch would say that. However, the next day, Shanahan did say that, hey, Darnold, Trey Lance, and Brock Purdy, once you get there, are going to compete for the starting job. So it's not a surprise that John Lynch came out and said to leave here the clubhouse. And why wouldn't he, right? 8 games, he played really well, helping the Niners get to the NFC Championship. We haven't seen Trey Lance at all. We've seen him for 4 games. And only 1 game we've seen him throw the ball to George Kittle. So we just don't know about Trey Lance right now. So to answer the question, Zach, I know it's long-winded there, but we're not surprised at all.
What are the expectations if Brock Purdy's healthy for week one? I know the team, right, is thinking Super Bowl, but what do you expect individually out of Brock Purdy?
I expect to hopefully build off of that, although I do have concerns about his body type. Can he withstand 17 weeks of football against big, ferocious defenses? And you know the Niners will play the AFC North next year, so you got Baltimore's defense, you got Pittsburgh, you got Cincinnati, and you got Cleveland. Can he hold up over the course of a season? We saw once he got deeper into the playoffs and once defenses got faster. Heck, the last 4 first halves, I know there's always second half adjustments, but we saw some struggles from Brock Purdy. And how much tape will teams now have on Brock Purdy to say, okay, we're going to take some of these things away, like him running around the pocket, turning his entire back to the line of scrimmage before even throwing an incompletion or throwing a dive downfield? Will defenses catch up to that? So the expectations remain the same in terms of the 49ers. It's Super Bowl or bust. However, individually with Brock Purdy, it's going to look like Jimmy Garoppolo, at least early on. And then you may see an offense with all these weapons average maybe 30 points a game, because let's face it, Brock Purdy had a lot more weapons than Jimmy Garoppolo ever had as a quarterback of the 49ers, because Chris McCaffrey's in the backfield, because George Kittle is running down a seam, and of course Brandon Ayuk is going over 1,000 yards. So the expectations may be a bit higher because of his mobility, but it wouldn't shock me if it looked a lot like Jimmy Garoppolo did in 2021 and 2019.
Bonta Hill here with us from the game out in the Bay Area. Where's the fan base at on Trey Lance? Are like people just done with him already?
It's a great question, and it feels like Trey Lance, it feels like a lot of people feel like he's a bust. And it's unfortunate because we just haven't seen enough of him. And from what we've seen, I've seen promises. I've seen the guy throw the ball down the field. I've seen, you know, he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not going to be Randall Cunningham running out the pocket, but he's a big guy with a powerful arm who can evade pressure when he needs to. I think the fan base, now let me tell you, Sam Darnold signed, right? And the initial reaction was, oh, he's going to be a third-string quarterback. We just heard from Shanahan and Lynch this week that Darnold's going to have – he's going to be able to split first-team reps in OTAs. And he's had a lot of experience in the league. Now, has he been good? No. But has he been in a situation like this in San Francisco? No, he hasn't. So he's going to have an opportunity to go toe-to-toe with Trey Lance. And it's a real big disappointment when you consider the draft capital the Niners traded up for that number 3 overall pick to go select Trey Lance. And when you whiff on that pick, number 3 overall, you have the track record. Look, the 49ers have drafted great in the middle round, Jack. They picked up Fred Warner. They picked up George Kittle. They picked up Talanoa, who fought against strong safety. They made a lot of good picks in the middle rounds. Think about all the first-round picks. Mike McGlinchey, gone. Kind of a disappointment. Solomon Thomas, number 3 overall in their first ever draft. Gone. Reuben Foster, no longer in the league. Brandon Ayuk has probably been their best pick with Javon Kinlaw. Hasn't panned out. They have whipped over and over on first-round picks, and this would be a massive blunder. Now, thankfully, it hasn't set them back. But the fan base is thinking, hey, what about Trey? You don't even hear his name, Zach. That's how bad it is. I've been yelling on the airways the last 2 months. Well, what about Trey? What about Trey? And everybody says, well, what about Brock? What about Brock? And now the Darnold hype train is going to start, because I know how this fan base is and I know how this coaching staff is. Folks are out on Trey Lance, and it's actually very, very disappointing.
And it's inconceivable to me. Like, if you tell me Brock Purdy's healthy, sure, I could see why you'd make him the starting quarterback with what he did at the end of the year. But I don't believe in a million years with how training camp isn't what it once was, and there's only 3 preseason games, that Sam Darnold, who, by the way, is a bust, is going to significantly outplay Trey Lance, where everyone's like, okay, we have to go with Darnold over Lance for week 1.
Well, don't underestimate Kyle Shanahan. I mean, this is a guy who tried to convince his fan base that Nick Mullins could be the answer at quarterback. He actually selected C.J. Beathard in the third round when he did take Solomon Thomas in the number three overall, and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes are sitting on the board. This is the way Shanahan's doing it. And the way Shanahan spoke about Sam Darnold at the owners' meetings earlier this week in Phoenix, Arizona, he talked about, hey, this guy was a number three overall pick coming out of USC. He has as good a skill set as anybody in the league, and maybe it's just coach speak. But I truly believe Shanahan believes that. This is a guy in Sam Darnold. The Niners have been rumored over and over about being interested in.
It's insanity, are they going to trade though, Bonta. It's insanity if they play Darnold week
insanity.
One.
It is insanity. But Shanahan is insane. Think about it. He told Garoppolo after changing his organization, yeah, I'd rather have Kirk Cousins. I mean, openly, during the week of Super Bowl 54, I want Cousins, yeah, I like the flirtation with Tom Brady, the flirtation with Matthew Stafford. He's flirting with damn near every single quarterback. So sometimes I just think Shanahan doesn't know what he wants at the quarterback spot. Does he want a guy who could be a bit mobile? Does he want a just stationary quarterback? I have no idea. But I'm telling you, man, don't be surprised if Sam Darnold starts a couple games. Now, am I a fan of Sam Darnold? No, I'm not. I saw a lot of being here on the West Coast. Obviously, we watch a lot of USC football. Some games, it's great. And then next thing you know, you see the boneheaded pick six. We all can't forget about Monday Night Football where you saw ghosts against the New England Patriots. I can't unhear that. I can't unsee it, Zach. So, look, anything is possible because Shanahan believes it's about his system, not the player. He believes his system brings out the best of the quarterback, not the quarterback bringing the best out of the system.
And then the last thing here, I think it's so clear, and I've been saying this for a while, but if that's true that Darnold starts over Trey Lance, it just shows you that Shanahan was talked into taking Trey Lance, and he never really loved him as a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest mystery, right? Everybody says, oh, well, was he talked into it? Well, from what I hear is that Shanahan really wanted him. Now, you look at Justin Fields and the way he improved in Chicago and, of course, his mobility and all the quarterback catches that Justin Fields attended of Kyle Shanahan's, and he passed him up, which shocked us all. But you talk to the North Dakota State, hey, Coach, the name is evading me, but he discussed how the Niners kept going up there, and they had an inkling that, hey, the Niners really like Trey Lance. This would be a massive lift. And luckily for Shanahan, this roster is so deep and so loaded. When you look at the tight end, the wide receivers, the running backs, the DBs, the linebackers, and of course the D-line, that it hasn't cost them. Think about how many teams would whiff on a quarterback, number three overall.
It's remarkable.
It costs people jobs. Yeah. It is remarkable. And yet Shanahan is going to enter year six with no solution at quarterback. It's really wild.
Because it's funny, Bonta Hill, before we let you run, if like any other organization messed up the quarterback with all they gave up, we'd be like, fire the GM, fire the coach. But that's not even talked about with the Niners because they still find the way, it feels like, to get to the NFC title game each and every year.
They still find a way because they run the ball. They physically beat up people. They have a great defense. Obviously, signing Javon Hargrave away from Philadelphia, which is a nice signing. They get after the quarterback. You got Nick Bosa, the DPOY. It's really fascinating. But look, think about how their season has ended. They get off the slow starts, one, because the offense is not clicking because of the uncertainty at quarterback. That's cost them home games in the playoffs. It would have been a lot better to host Philadelphia at Levi's Stadium than going all the way to Philadelphia to get your butts kicked. But when you lose to Chicago and Denver early on in the season, because of the uncertainty at quarterback, because the offense is not clicking, because of the injuries, it wears on you. 2021, you had to play all three games on the road in the NFC playoffs. You go to Green Bay, you win without scoring an offensive touchdown. You survive in Dallas, but yet against the Rams, you just wear down. So they got to get off the quicker starts, and getting off the quicker starts is know who's going to play quarterback. I think about this, Zach. If you're Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel, and you're going out there working out, who can you call to go work out with? Are you calling Sam Darnold? Are you calling Trey Lance? Because you're not calling Brock Purdy because his elbow is wrapped up in this big old brace that looks like Terminator or T-1000 or something like that, Terminator 2 or something. It's gnarly, right? Who do you catch passes from in the offseason? Do you work out with Trey or do you work out with Sam Darnold?
It's got to be Trey.
As a wide receiver, it's got to be Trey.
You know him at least.
You would think you owe him that, but like the way the players talk about Trey and the way it's been a nasty narrative written about him, and it's not fair. Well, we thought he was smarter than what he was. Oh, well, we thought he was Lamar Jackson. Yeah, he's not developing as well as we thought. Well, that's on you, Kyle Shanahan. That's on you, John Lynch. That's on the 49ers brass. So if it doesn't work at a quarterback, and Darnold does end up starting the game, or Purdy's not ready, you know, Shanahan said maybe he's ready by week one, but I doubt it. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's going to be ready by week one whatsoever. This could have long-term ramifications on this football team because George Kittle's not getting any younger. Trent Williams is not getting any younger. Christian McCaffrey, we know about his injury history. We were lucky to see him stay healthy. Is that going to happen again? I don't know. So it's really interesting what's happening with the quarterback position. And I know the rumors about Lamar Jackson. They paid Javon Hargrave. I don't think Lamar Jackson's coming to San Francisco. And, hell, I don't want Lamar Jackson in San Francisco because I think Shanahan wouldn't know how to use him. All his quarterbacks get hurt. So that's another situation with Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. And yet, we're talking about a team that's gone to three NFC championships in the last 4 years in a Super Bowl appearance. But until you win the big one, and can you win the big one with the quarterback situation in San Francisco, that's a million-dollar question. That is a million-dollar question, Zach.
So you took care of the Lamar question. Any shot that they get Brady out of retirement at some point this season?
It's a great question. Would Brady want to play for $10 to $15 million? Does Brady really want to retire? Does he want to stick it to the league? I don't know. I still think there's some phone calls happening with Tom Brady because Shanahan does love the veteran quarterbacks. But right now, I'm doubting it. I'm doubting that Brady will ever step foot on the field for the 49ers.
Bonta Hill, appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Zach, anytime, brother. Have a good night.
You too. There's Bonta Hill joining us. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. That is just, and I said it, and then he said Kyle Shanahan is insane. That is insane to me. If Purdy isn't ready week one, that somehow, some way, they say, okay, we've seen enough from Darnold, who's a bust, that they would go with Sam Darnold over Trey Lance. Like, I know what Ian Rappaport said. It's more likely than not. And I know how trusted Rap Sheet is. Like, I put that at like a 0% chance, a 1% chance. I just can't see that. It's not as if you have this great alternative. Darnold stinks. All righty. Let's get a CBS Sports Radio update. And by the way, can I talk to Peter Schwartz? I know he's not in here. Peter Schwartz, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So I know you're a Jet fan.
Yeah.
And they're still waiting to get the trade done and all that. But give me your thoughts on your JTS Jets getting Aaron Rodgers. Your kid's going nuts?
I think we're all going nuts. I just want it to be over with already. You know, let's get it done. Let's get him here. Let's get him in the building. I know he's familiar with the offense and the coordinator and everything, but you know what? Let's get it done. I'm glad to hear that it's not going to be the first round pick this year because I don't think they should have given that first round pick up. And I think the second round pick, a pick next year, and a conditional pick back to the Jets if he leaves after 1 year, I think is more than enough compensation. So let's get this done and let's move on.
By the way, what brought you to Yankee Stadium and Citi Field recently? I saw videos of you at the ballpark posting delicious food.
Yeah, they had some media events back-to-back days. First day at Yankee Stadium, second day at Citi Field, where they unveil the food tastings for the season.
And you went to both?
I did go to both. Sure, I was invited to both.
How much food did you get?
I consumed a fair amount.
What do you mean by a fair amount? Just one.
Well, I paced myself. I, you know, in years past, I probably eaten a little bit more, but I sampled enough each day.
Were you stuffed leaving?
Oh yeah, I didn't have dinner either night.
Really? Did you? Well, did you get leftovers? Were you able to bring stuff home?
I brought some home for both. The family had to get a shot at it too.
Wait, so how does that work? So Peter Schwartz goes to the event, and it's a media event. They serve you all the ballpark food that they're going to serve. Do they give you, like, take-home boxes and bags, or did you bring your own?
No, I brought my own bag.
Ah.
And I asked if it was okay to take an extra one.
Did you?
Yeah, so if I got the, if I got, like, a slider, I said, can I take another one to bring home? And they said, sure. Actually, one of the places at Yankee Stadium offered to give me, like, an insulated bag to take it home. And I said, no,
really?
It's okay. I'll be home in an hour.
I don't know. I thought that would, I would feel awkward doing that. I feel like that'd be pushing the boundaries.
No, I asked.
And they just said, here's the extra French fries and here's an extra hamburger.
No problem.
Do you have an air fryer, by the way?
I do. I have no idea how to use it.
But does someone in your family know how to use it?
My wife.
Okay, sure. Then that's at least a good way to reheat it. Okay, there you go. So Peter Schwartz going to the stadium, having fun. Will you cover a Yankee or Met game this year, credential? You only go for the food.
I am going to Yankee opening day tomorrow.
Ah, very nice. As a fan or media member?
Media.
Oh, that's going to be fun. You looking forward to it?
Yeah, I would think so.
Are you confident in your Yankees this year?
Yes, I feel 107 wins, American League East title.
Wow, look at you. 107 wins. That's a lot of wins.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, everything else good with you?
And I think the Mets, 95 wins in a wild card.
You know what? I'm gonna admit something here, and I'm a Met fan, and I'm going to the home opener next week just as a fan, not a big shot media superstar like yourself. I'm not feeling all that great about my ball club this year.
They'll figure out the closers. That's the only thing you have to worry about.
Yeah, losing Correa and then Diaz with the whole World Baseball Classic nonsense.
You'll be fine.
You better be
You'll
right.
Be fine.
If not, I'm coming over to your house and I'm going to start yelling at you.
I need this whole house to be happy. So we need the Mets and the Yankees to both be good.
Ah, that's right. Both your kids are Mets fans, right?
Wife and kids, Mets fans. I'm the only
That's
got to
annoy the
fan.
Crap out of you.
No, well, it was my choice when my wife was pregnant with Bradley.
What do you mean it was you let her
well,
say that?
Cheryl and I are both Jet fans, so that was easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she is a Met fan, Yankee fan. She's a Ranger fan. I'm an Islander fan. So she gave me the first choice.
You guys had a draft? You didn't let the kid decide himself?
No, she let me make the pick. And I said I would sooner stick a needle in my eye than see my child put a Ranger jersey on. So I said, you get the Mets, I get the Islanders. Everybody's happy and color coordinated.
Gotcha. So your wife is a Rangers fan?
Yeah, but she's not much of a hockey fan. She only kind of latched on to the Rangers because her best friend is a Ranger fan.
Well, do me a favor. So, just I got to interrupt you here for a second. That's why Peter Schwartz's wife is the smart one in the relationship.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So the NBA has a problem, and I'm curious to see what Adam Silver does. And Adam Silver, I think, is such an overrated commissioner that has no control of his sport. And clearly, the NBA is a player-driven league, and Silver is never able to control his league. So here's what I'll say. I don't advocate horrible fan behavior. I think there's a lot of times when I go to games and I look at people and I go, how the heck do you go to work? Like, how are you a normal functioning human being in society with the way that you conduct yourself at a game? But there are differences. Like, if you're just booing, that's one thing. If you then take it to a level where you're like cursing at a player or you're saying something that is offensive, yeah, then I have no problem if you get booted out of the stadium. But I don't know what was said to Kyrie Irving. And this was a few days ago when a fan, he was wearing a Redskins hat. So, like, obviously when you wear the Redskins hat, you just, like, assume, like, oh, he probably said something racist or something like that. Like, just when you wear that hat still, just with the way that it's looked upon all these years later, even though it was just a logo of a team. But I also saw tonight, Kyrie a few days ago got a fan ejected, and there was nothing, at least that I heard, Hickey, that this fan said anything that was offensive or said anything that was racist, but Kyrie got him booted. And then tonight, Kyrie is in Philadelphia, and he stopped the game for like a few seconds, and he was yelling at a fan, and I'm assuming he was trying to get the fan ejected again, a different fan. Now, that's a problem. Like, if a fan's just booing, if a fan just saying, hey, Kyrie, you suck, or something like that, you can't eject the fan for that. Now, I don't think the fan got ejected tonight, but the fan a few days ago did. Now, I also saw a video with the Clippers game going on right now with Russell Westbrook that he got a fan ejected as well tonight. Like, Hickey, I think that's a problem. Now, if something comes out that the fan said something that is, like, over the top and offensive, then absolutely, toss him out of the building. But if a fan's just booing, or if a fan just says, hey, you suck, like, that shouldn't warrant an ejection. And what does it turn out to be? And I saw the video tonight with Westbrook. Like, the fan's just, like, smiling as if he, like, can't believe what just happened. And maybe I'm wrong on this. And if I am, I apologize in advance. But I would, in a weird way where I usually don't give fans the benefit of the doubt, just looking at the fan's reaction, he looks like he is so shocked that he's getting ejected. He probably just said, like, hey, Westbrook, or hey, Russell Westbrook, you suck or something like that. Even if he said, oh, you bleeping suck or something like that. Like, that's probably what ended up happening. But if that's like all that's going on, now what? Anytime a player doesn't like what he hears from a fan, he's just going to go over the ref or go over to security and say, hey, you have to toss him out of the building. That's a bad spot for the NBA to be in if that's going to be the case.
Agreed. And obviously not having all the information in terms of what was said, exactly. Hopefully it's not, you know, hopefully this is being ridiculous and it's not, you know, racist, misogynistic, just behavior that, again, is deplorable. That's on you. That's a bad look. And then good job by the players are just not tolerating it. But again, if it's just normal trash talk where nothing's crossing the line and nothing is really outrageous, you can't be that sensitive. And again, we're seeing it more and more now. Bradley Beal just got an altercation, you know, with a fan who lost a bet. So again, it's something where you do have to give back to the fans. And again, if now your first instinct of any time anyone says anything mean to you is get him out of here, like I don't want to see him, get him out of face, you're going to disconnect from your fan base. That's the first step in terms of apathy setting in.
And obviously there's a line and you can't cross that line. But if it's just simply being a fan and just booing a player or telling a player, oh, you stink, that's just ridiculous. And I'm looking at this fan at the Clippers-Grizzlies game, and when he's walking off, and if he said something just ridiculous, then you deserve to get tossed, but he gives a look like, I can't believe I'm actually getting tossed. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Yeah, bye-bye. Peace.